Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, The Freedom of Release. Here's Chris Austin with our scripture reading.
Today's New Testament passage comes from Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The word of God for the people of God.
If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours forever. If it doesn't, it was never meant to be. That's how the saying goes. If I were a betting woman, I would bet that most of you, if not all of you, know this quote quite well. You've probably heard it in a song or in a movie, or maybe even directly from someone who was giving you advice in a moment of despair or confusion, or maybe even loss. It's what we say to one another when a relationship is struggling, or when parents are trying to figure out how to let their children grow up. It is a tragically beautiful reminder of the inseparable nature of freedom, love, and release. It is almost counterintuitive, though, because when we love people or things, we want to keep them close. We want to protect them, and perhaps to protect ourselves from the pain of living without them. But love without freedom and choice is not love at all, is it? Whether we like it or not, love renders us vulnerable. At the same time, in that vulnerability, we are reminded that love is a gift that comes from God and that remains completely outside of our control. And often, if we want to experience the fullness of love, we have to surrender everything to it, often giving up our plans, our expectations, and always releasing our ability to manage the outcome. In this way, love humbles us time and time again. Perhaps this is what Jesus was trying to teach us when he said, "Those who want to find their life must lose it." It's the same kind of paradox, at least. A reorientation of our human nature to store up, to cling tightly, to control, and to protect. Although we tend to think of love as an individual experience, there are numerous examples from Scripture which challenge that very perspective and teach us that love, free and mysterious love, is also communal. In the beginning, God creates out of love, bringing forth life from chaos. And after 6 days of that creative work of love, God steps back and releases creation to dance all on its own. On the seventh day, God rests and watches life as it begins to live into its fullest and freest expressions. Later, this rhythm is recreated as the Hebrew people live in relationship with one another and with their land, creation itself. The seventh day becomes the Sabbath day, a day of rest and freedom from labor. The seventh year would become the sabbatical year, a time for farmland to lie fallow and for debts, all kinds of debts, to be forgiven. Rest for the land and freedom for those trapped by debt. According to the book of Leviticus, after 7 cycles of sabbatical years, a year of Jubilee would be observed. In the year of Jubilee, freedom and release would run wild. Debts were forgiven. Land was released from its creative labor. And that land was redistributed, given back to the original owners or their heirs. Slaves and indentured servants were set free. Everything and everyone had a chance to start over, to begin again, and to be freed from the ties that bound them in and to the past. Jubilee was a year of liberation. Jubilee was a year of hope. Jubilee was a communal expression and a shared experience of love. The spirit of Jubilee is echoed in the words of the prophet Isaiah that Jesus quotes in Luke chapter 4, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners." The spirit of Jubilee is embodied in the mission and ministry of Jesus as he travels throughout Galilee after that first sermon, doing the work of love and setting free those who are sick as they are healed, the hungry as they're nourished, the poor as they are lifted up, and the outcast as they are brought to the front and center. Jesus doesn't wait for seven or for seven times 7 years. Jesus' whole life is a model of love, freedom, release. His whole life is Jubilee. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church as it begins to organize itself to engage in the mission and ministry without Jesus, but very much with the guidance and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the church begins to grow and change, it continues to incorporate expressions of Jubilee. This time, though, it doesn't seem much like that obligatory rhythmic practice or a cyclical commitment that comes around every 7 or every 49 years. Instead, the spirit of Jubilee has informed the whole way of life for the early church, just like it had with Jesus. An overwhelming spirit of freedom, of release, and of love consumes their whole life together. No one claims private ownership of property. Grace consumes them all, and there is not a needy person among us. That's what the text says, at least. Those who had much sold what they had, and they brought the proceeds to lay them at the feet of the apostles so that they could be fully shared amongst all the people. There's a counterintuitive spirit of abundance and a shared commitment to love modeled through release. It seems the early Christians really understood the spiritual practice of release. Could it be that the act of release itself helped them understand the love of God more fully? They say if you love something, let it go. The problem is, we love so many things, and who can imagine letting them all go? And to what end? What difference would it make? One of our sister churches in Little Rock, Arkansas, has spent a lot of time in deep spiritual discernment about these very questions. Earlier this year, Pulaski Heights Baptist launched what they are calling a Jubilee ministry. It's a ministry dedicated to financial relief and assistance to their neighbors, to those in their community who are in need. And when I say their community, I'm not talking about within their congregation. I'm talking about within their local community. Through the generous gifts of church members, average, ordinary people like you and I, the church has raised and will continue to raise funds to be dispersed through this Jubilee ministry. It is an ongoing way to proclaim release to the captives and to liberate those enslaved to cycles of poverty and debt. Together, the body of Christ at Pulaski Heights Baptist are living Jubilee. In much the same way, five houses of worship in central Kentucky have built a Jubilee coalition set on forgiving medical debt for families and individuals in the Appalachia region. St. Michael's Episcopal, Central Baptist, and First Presbyterian, all of Lexington, Kentucky, along with Union Church Berea and Temple Adath Israel of Lexington, all recognize the great and growing need. They understood that the need was greater than any one of them could meet alone, and so they joined together, sharing their resources, none claiming any ownership over what could be done, none claiming any ownership over the outcome. But together, their gifts, with a good measure of God's grace, are bringing financial freedom to Appalachia. Jubilee is happening in Little Rock and in Appalachia. Could it happen here too? It is an interesting idea, I have to admit. Love as release, love as freedom, love as liberation, especially for people who, like us, have so much freedom already. Because of who we are and where we live and what we do for a living, there is opportunity for financial freedom, for relational freedom, for social and political freedom. There is also religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom to claim what is ours, the freedom to leave a legacy, to pass things down to future generations. And these are all beautiful things. But as much as we as a people celebrate our freedom, I wonder if we might have something to learn from the coalition in central Kentucky or from our sisters and brothers in Little Rock, Arkansas. I wonder if the Holy Spirit might be giving us an opportunity to learn from the early church, whose story is told through the book of Acts about experiencing God's love in the act of release. Perhaps there, we might find a freedom we didn't even realize we were missing. There's got to be something to it, this spiritual act of release, of letting go. Because if God models it in the very beginning, if the prophets proclaim it, if Jesus embodies it, and if the church carries it forward in every age, surely in the experience of release, of letting go of all that we think we love, surely we too experience our own glimpse of freedom. Maybe it's freedom from privilege and power. Maybe it's freedom from the pressure of keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe it's freedom from grief and pain. Maybe it's freedom from stress and worry. Whatever it is, maybe having the courage to let it go is all we need to experience the transforming power of God's love. And maybe as we loosen our grip a little bit, as we let go of all the things we used to think would bring us joy and make our lives whole, we might just find that losing our life really is the way to save it. Letting something go really is the best way to love it. And freedom is not found in all that we can build up, protect, and call our own, but in having the nerve to let it all go. Perhaps freedom is found in release. Perhaps love really is letting go. Perhaps Jubilee can indeed come to us. But even better still, perhaps Jubilee can come through us. May it be so. Amen.